Slug Magazine's Rough Side of the Lens Skate Competition marked Salt Lake City's first ever skate filming contest. Film editor Eric Ferguson will compile the submitted footage in a full-length film of the contest. Join Slug at 7 p.m. on November 19th, when the final skate video along with the Rough Side Awards will premiere at the U of U's Post Theater.
Are you listening? This is Slug Sound Waves. I'm Michael Gross, and I sing and play guitar in the Statuettes. I've been playing music in the local scene probably 2003 is when I started gigging out, and the Statuettes came on the scene in about 2008. If my math is correct, I think it's four EPs that we've put out and three full-length albums. And we've also released a couple of singles here and there. Aspirations for the Statuettes. I would say that it's to just keep writing and releasing more music. We're doing less touring these days, though playing live is important to us, and we do enjoy that. You know, I don't think anybody wants to be, you know, playing at an empty bar on a Tuesday night. So we try to be a little more selective about the shows that we do. But where we've seen the most success, and we've been working the most lately, has been with music licensing. We actually have a licensing deal with a company out of Los Angeles that our band, the Statuettes, and a couple other different projects I do have had some success with syncing and licensing in television and film. And so these days that seems to be kind of the primary focus with this group. So what I mean by syncing and licensing is that's basically where a television show or a commercial or a film will use your music in it. So maybe in the background, it could be like a featured song that happens in a scene. Most of our music that has been used for that sort of thing has been mainly background stuff, but it's still audible that you can hear it. You can definitely hear the song for, you know, 10 or so seconds, and then it kind of fades into the background. Some of those examples would include Teen Mom from MTV. Some of you may not want to admit that you watch that, but apparently people do. I don't know a lot of bands around that are making, like, pop rock music that's, you know, heavily influenced by 90s bands. I mean, I'm sure there are some, but it doesn't seem to be a real popular sort of genre around town. And I guess that can be a good thing or a bad thing. It means kind of a unique thing, I guess you could say. But by the same token, maybe there's a reason why there's no bands like that. You know, maybe nobody digs that sort of thing. But we enjoy it. So with our new record, Modern Despondence, we took a different approach to it. I wouldn't say it's really far removed from the stuff we've done the last couple of years, but what was interesting about it, or at least interesting to us and unique, was our songwriting approach. In the past, you know, I mainly would come up with some ideas myself, maybe a rough outline of a song, you know, and melody and all that stuff, and then I would kind of bring it to the band. And we would kind of hash some things out together and work on parts. But for the most part, the song was pretty close to being there. At least, you know, the meat of it. On this one, and when you're a band for a long time, or really an artist of any kind, I think after so many years, you look for ways to keep things fresh, to keep things interesting and exciting for you, so you're not always doing the same thing. And so this one, I wanted to try something that we hadn't ever tried, which was I wanted to try to write a full song in one rehearsal session, meaning like an hour and a half to 2 hours that we got together. And before we left, I wanted to have a song written, and not all the way polished and not, you know, fully complete, but I wanted to have the basic idea of it. I wanted to have the structure, I wanted to have the arrangement pretty much already there, the chord you know, structure and chord changes to be there. And so we set out to do that, and we met to do this specific thing about nine different times. There's nine tracks on the record, so it would have been nine times we got together, and just from scratch, or maybe there was like a tiny idea somebody had in their head of a hook or a melody, and then we just ran with it, and we just told ourselves, whatever we end up with at the end of this 2 hours, let's try to stick with it. And so we didn't know how that was going to turn out, and it could have been really bad, I think, but it almost forced us to be creative. You know what I mean? Like, there was no other option. And so I think sometimes when you have all the time in the world to write, I mean, you can constantly second guess yourself and, you know, revise and do all kinds of things to it. So that's kind of what we wanted to capture, is just like, what can we do in 2 hours? And can we write a song that's worth releasing in 2 hours? And it turned out, you know, way better than expected, in my opinion. So we recorded this new record in Los Angeles. Again, a couple of reasons. One, we have a good friend out there who we think is a fantastic engineer slash producer slash musician. And he had recently, like within the last couple of years, had a studio space that he opened with a friend of his in downtown Los Angeles, in a loft in an old building. And we did our release right before this one. We released an EP before this new record, and we went out there a couple years ago to do this. Recorded like 5 songs in 3 days. So we had everything prepared before we went out there, because again, time is sort of limited. You know, we can't really take like a month off and, you know, mess around in the studio. And so we went out there. We loved the vibe. We loved the studio. We loved the way that our buddy records. We feel like he gets our style of music and can get the right sounds we're looking for. Also, we have friends that live out there in Southern California, in the greater Los Angeles area, and some friends that used to live here, and other friends that we've met over the years from touring and things. It's always nice to go out there and visit with them too. So it was kind of a two-part thing. One, we knew it was going to sound great, and two, it gave us a chance for a little bit of a vacation to see some friends too. The production value of the new record, how I think it interplays with our sense of sound. Well, one, are we happy with the sound? Yes, I think we are. Was it what we were looking for? Yes, it is. I think when I hear super clean, to me it just means clarity, that you can hear everything that's being played. You know, you can hear the kick drum as well as the keyboard and, you know, the guitars and the vocal. So that's kind of what I look for in a record personally. I know that there's different tastes for different people and there's different ways of doing records, but in general, I like to hear what's happening from everybody. How do I feel that listeners have connected with the new record? So far, so good. I mean, obviously, there's tons of people that haven't heard it, and there's a lot of people who don't even know who we are. I mean, you don't really know what people think of your music, you know, when it comes to your circle of friends and family. I mean, they're always going to be supportive and say, yeah, it sounds really good, you know. So I appreciate when I get a sort of an opinion from somebody outside of my, you know, sphere of people. And because I feel like those are a little more honest, you know, and they're more objective. But, you know, that's always the challenge, though, as an independent artist, is how do you get people to actually hear you? And so that's kind of what we're trying to do now. You know, I mean, the internet is a good tool, and so we're trying to do what we can with that, you know, reaching out to blogs and different music media. And we've had a couple of reviews so far from it, Slug being one of them, and then a couple of out-of-state blogs and things. It feels like they've connected with it really well. I mean, they all get the similar vibe. Like, you know, yeah, this kind of reminds me of, like, early Weezer or, you know, some of the bands that, you know, list as your influences. But yeah, I mean, so far it's been positive. We had a release show, actually, in Ogden on the rooftop of a place called Alleged, which is a pretty new club down there on 25th Street, and really happening place, really cool, really great vibe. It was a nice night, rooftop atmosphere. As we were sound checking a couple hours before we went on, there was a few people there that were just hanging out, having a drink, and they'd never heard of us before. So they decided that they liked what they heard and like the couple songs that we went through for rehearsal. And so they actually came back a couple hours later just to see us. They bought an album. So yeah, they felt like that they had kind of discovered this band that they had never heard of before. And they thought it was cool that, you know, it was by chance. You know what I mean? They had no idea a band was even playing. It's kind of cool, you know, make a couple new fans unexpectedly and unintentionally. But again, there's so many people that haven't heard this that now it becomes, how do we get it in front of more people like that? Because we feel like there's people out there that would dig our music. I mean, obviously it's not everybody's cup of tea, but we think that there is, I don't want to use the word market for what we do because it's not like that's what we're all about. But we think that there is a part of the population of the world that would dig this stuff. And so now it's, how do we get these people to hear it? You're now going to hear the song called Heartbreaker, and it is off our new album, Modern Despondence. I'd just like to give a shout out to people that were involved with the recording of not only the track that you heard, but with all the tracks. We actually recorded the drums here locally with a friend of mine named Aaron Hubbard here at Counterpoint Studios. Everything else we did in Los Angeles, and that was done by John Siebels. Also mastered by an amazing mastering engineer named Brian Lucy. And you can Google him and kind of see the list of artist he's worked with. It's pretty mind-blowing. He's really talented. So we had a little extra money this time around from some of our licensing stuff that we've had. And so we were able to afford some of these luxuries that a lot of times independent artists don't get, you know, for lack of funding and things like that. So then this was a first for us also, being able to get it mastered by a renowned mastering engineer. And of course, I mean, these songs wouldn't be anything without my bandmates. And that would be Jimmy Kelly on guitar and Todd Hammond on the drums and Ben Johnson on the bass and keys. So if you want to support our band, The Statuettes, there's a few ways you can do that. Obviously, you can download our music or stream it, but I would prefer that you download it if you dig it. You can do that at our website, which is www.thestatuettes.com. And then we're all over all of the digital retail sites, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, all of those things. So you can find us at all those places. We usually have local shows coming up, so you can find out when and where we're playing also from our website, thestatuettes.com.
Four geeky girls walk into a studio.
Hello, sweetie!
Your weekly dose of geek news.
Hello, sweetie podcast.